Hello, and welcome to the Manic Monday podcast, the Demented Dungeons and Dragons portion of the Manic Monday podcast, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons, which we actually really rarely ever, never talk about. We actually only talk about it to say we don't talk about it. Which is funny. Okay. Yeah, we picked a bad name because people think we're devil worshippers because of Dungeons and Dragons. Dumb people think we're devil worshippers because of the name Dungeons and Dragons. It's kind of stupid and funny at the same time. But hey, what Forrest Gump always say? Mama always says stupid is what stupid does. So, yeah, we didn't really have a name. It was just kind of like a joke, and we went with it, and we're still going with it. Oh, yeah. Well, let's see. In about an hour, we're going to do our free food and medicine podcast at Blog Talk Radio. But I got something interesting here. Whoa, wait a minute. Did it get thrown in jail? Damn Facebook. No, here it is. Okay, cool. I just posted a post that I just found recently saying that Florida has lifted the ban on front yard vegetable gardens. Following the link goes to returntonow.net. Basically, where's the article? Here we go. State lawmakers in Florida told the cities that they must respect citizens, actually sovereigns, property rights. And seemingly even more basic right to grow their own food. Bam! This should have been on our Scrap Go Scrap podcast. But I just found it while on our 30-minute break playing on Facebook. They just passed a bill prohibiting local governments to regulate vegetable gardens and residential properties, which is freaking awesome. So hopefully that includes collecting rainwater for our gardens. I mean, I'm not in the city anymore. I moved out into the country because of all these regulations. Where I live, we have very little regulation, so we're working on an off-grid organic farm and retreat, which is what our podcast was originally going to be all about. But we got sidetracked, and now we just talk about all kinds of stuff. But we're focusing that in a 30-minute podcast called Free Food and Medicine because of Marcus Rothkranz, whom I discovered a few years ago after getting into foraging and learning how to identify wild edibles and all these herbs that I've been studying for 20 years, how to identify them in the wild. And, you know, guerrilla gardening, wild crafting and all that stuff. So I've been learning how to identify what's good for us in the wild, and I want to be able to grow that on our land. Whatever we can grow on the land, grow on the land. So that we basically have a 15-acre food forest. Well, actually 35 acres or 34 acres to be exact. Because I got scammed into a community project about 5 miles from my other land. In 2012, after my divorce or during, I got scammed into this community project where we were, well, the guy was digging for a psychic buried treasure or whatever, some gold, Jesse James gold, and some Spanish gold, and some ET devices, and some Native American artifacts, and stuff like that. All this stuff was supposed to be in one location. I really didn't buy most of that, maybe like 10% of it. But, he also talked about doing a getting off the grid project, doing a metaphysical school. And so I was kind of getting into the metaphysical at the time. He was an astrologer, so I was learning astrology from the guy. Our friend David Irish said he was honest and reputable, so I trusted him. Turns out he wasn't honest and reputable. But he was a pretty good astrologer. But the problem was he used astrology to manipulate people, not to help people. And so after that, I decided I was going to use it to help people. And but I did that for 5 years hardcore, and then I got away from it. So for the last 2 years, I just haven't really been doing a whole lot. I mean, I haven't even been looking for love or nothing. I mean, which brings me to another post I saw on Facebook. This girl, she's somewhat astrologically compatible. One of the better numbers that I found. Hi.
Hi. My apologies, I lost consciousness.
That's right. You interrupted me before I got caught up in some drama.
Don? I heard Don. That's the only thing I heard. Don. Then you stopped.
Because I heard a ding.
Right. So what was the drama?
You want the juicy tidbits, don't you?
Only because it might make the podcast more exciting than me asking, where do my shards go when I make them?
Shards?
Shards in the game.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, never mind. Okay. I know where the shards go.
Yeah, the
Pretty much. Okay. So, all right. Rewinding. Talking about our podcast and where it originated, the farm, wild crafting, foraging, wild edibles, growing food on the land, identifying stuff in the wild and transplanting it back to the land, and parties in scam contract and how I got involved in that. All in what, 9 minutes? No, 4 minutes.
You idiot.
I did all of that in like 4 minutes. Oh, and talking about astrology and then leading into the drama from the astrology regarding a woman.
Well, which one
And
of
that's
three?
where, no, this is a different one. Which is where you interrupted.
Let's hear this.
Well, okay. This girl, I'm not going to name her name, a few years back had a mutual friend of ours have me run her astrology. Okay. And so I did, and our mutual friend paid me for it. For her friend. Well, it turns
Must
out
not
her
have been
friend
me.
is what?
Must not have been me then.
No. So turns out this friend of hers was pretty well compatible to me astrologically. Not like a perfect match, but one of the better ones that I've seen. You know, like a You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, she was like a 3 or 4. I forgot now exactly. But according to my astrologer, a 1 or 2 A one is good, a two is really good. So if you get a three or four, that's like excellent, you know? And a 10, psh, that's like a unicorn. But anyways, anything over a five is like a unicorn. I've been hard pressed to find anybody over a five. But she's like a three or a four. And so I started following her on Facebook. I tried contacting her, do small talk and all this stuff. She basically blows me off and ignores me. Right?
Your perfect match wants nothing to do with you.
Which is kind of what Jeff Dietrich said, you know. If you're compatible with them, they're not going to be attracted to you at first. They grow more attracted to you as time goes on, where if you're not compatible, you're immediately attracted and then you become less attractive over time.
Yeah, well, Dietrich is a manipulative son of a bitch, so you know. He
Yeah,
might have said that just to keep you going.
That's true. I mean, you don't really know what to believe with him because he lies about a lot of things. Something like that he could lie about because there's no supporting evidence, where the other astrology stuff he taught me, you know, there was supporting evidence, so he had to be careful what he lied about and what he didn't lie about. But anyways, so this girl, she's like, you know, up there in compatibility, supposedly. And she's been blowing me off. Well, she posted this deal yesterday. It's kind of funny and kind of sad at the same time. Nobody actually did a crying emoji. People did a thumbs up, a heart, or a laughing face. But she posted, "I give up. Dating is stupid. That is all." And then did a middle finger emoji. And then the post, let's see, where did she respond? I think right here. Somebody, I'm not reading all of her stuff because there's 50 comments. And she goes, "Honestly, my only deal breakers are smokers, regular drinkers, people that can't have fun going out without alcohol in their hand, doesn't like dogs, and doesn't give a rip about living at least a somewhat healthy lifestyle." Well, that's me right there. You know, I'm not a smoker. I quit smoking in 2007.
Yep, you hate dogs.
I don't hate dogs. I'm just not a dog person. I'm selective about my dog. So that would be the only
I'm a
if
dog
you think.
lover. She's mine.
There you go. That would be the only thing, you know, is the dog thing. But anyways, it's just kind of it's kind of ironic, you know, that she blows me off when I'm probably and I'm actually, you know, I've been following her wall for years. You know, I mean, I didn't put her at the top of my list anymore. She used to be. You know, she's not exactly the healthiest person herself, but she does work out and she does, she has a false, reality of what health is to a degree. You know, her idea of health is what's promoted to her commercially. But nonetheless, you know, she is and tries to be pretty healthy. You know, she does yoga. She's into, you know, a lot of things that we're into as far as health and fitness. Well, maybe not. She's more fit than we are, for sure. But, because she works out a lot. But, yeah, it's kind of.
We lift heavy objects on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, I would probably exercise more if I had more motivation to exercise more. But lately, I just haven't cared. I mean, I used to exercise more, but lately I just haven't really cared.
At least three times a day, walk to the front bumper of your semi-truck and try to pick it up.
Try to pick it up.
You may never succeed, but you'll at least shake the cab of your truck.
Yeah, we'll
do that. Process. You know, you'll at least do that. It's an isometric exercise. All right, go do that three times a day. You'd be surprised how strong you'll get.
True that. Yeah, I commented. I gave up in 2017 for the most part. So, but yeah, I had my eye on her a long time ago, and she pretty much just blew me off because I'm not macho cool dude.
Macho cool dude.
Yeah, that's what women want, macho cool dude. But that's not really what they want. That's what they think they want.
Right. That's what you think they want.
Right. She even does yoga.
Does she?
Yep.
Tell her that we have little goats.
Nah, she ignores everything I say. So, to hell with her.
Yeah, I think goat yoga kind of devolved down to just simply doing yoga in the presence of goats.
Well, yeah, that's all it is. It's just goats like to jump on your back while you're doing yoga, and you know, because it's like they like to be king of the mountain type thing. It's more fun than it is athletic.
Yeah. Well, the little baby goats, when they walk on you, it kind of hits all the pressure points and such. It's you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, well, it might give you a massage.
It's more fun than anything else.
Yeah. Yep.
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 But don't tell her that.
No. Well, the other problem is, too, she moved to Austin, Texas. She's from Kansas City. She moved down to Texas a few years ago. About the same time I moved to Stockton, we both lived in Kansas City at about the same time. About the time we came down to Stockton or Cedar County, she went to Texas.
Okay.
Yep. I don't remember when it was exactly, but let's see here. See if Facebook tells me. Probably not. Who cares? Okay, so that was my drama. So I was talking about how we came up with our name, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.
The inventor doesn't even recall doing it.
Yeah, but it was a joke, you know.
Yeah, it was.
So a lot of times people don't remember their passing jokes that they... You know,
that's true. That was probably a pretty passing joke.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember every joke I told 7 years ago. Or however long it was, 5 years ago. But, so DD&D stands for David, David, and David. And we were going to name the farm DD&D, which we did. And David Irish joked about calling it Demented Dungeons and Dragons. And then a year or so later, we figured out how to start our own podcast, and we didn't really have a name for it, so we called it Demented Dungeons and Dragons because we thought it was funny. And now people think we're devil worshippers.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Who thinks that?
Joseph, for one.
Well, he's an idiot.
Yeah. So the idiot.
He thinks the world's going to end next month. Every month.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joseph. If you're listening to this podcast, Joseph, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disparage you.
Right. Like I said earlier in the podcast, what did Forrest Gump say? Stupid is what stupid does. So, yeah.
I thought you said something about a box of chocolates.
That too. But anyhow.
I want a box of chocolates.
Women are like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
That's not true. You know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get in trouble.
That's true. Okay. Oh, all right. Women are like a box of chocolate Ex-Lax. You know exactly what you're going to get.
Ouch. Terrible.
I should put that in her comment. So anyway. So,
she'll either be like, who the hell are you? Or
yeah.
Oh my god.
Too bad they don't have the poop emoji for your reaction on some of these comments or on some of these people's posts. That's what I would have done. I'd have done the poop emoji. So anyway, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. You know, it's like women look at me like I'm a plague. And, you know, it's like I try to be the best man that I can be. And they look at me as like I'm the worst. And it's like I don't get it. Probably because I'm trying to be the best.
It's because they don't know and won't admit that their husband is Uncle Sam.
Well, that's part of the problem.
They are married to the state. And we do have a world government now. It's a world authoritarian government. It just has different segments. But there ain't no place in the world you can't go that doesn't have some authoritarian government over your head. And it didn't used to be that way.
That's true.
And they're all working together, you know, basically to keep all the sheeple in place. So.
Yep.
And you keep saying that wars are for population control. That's, in my opinion, that's not quite right, but it's the same effect. It's the nature of the worldwide economy. We're playing a game of musical chairs, and they keep taking a chair away. But in this case, when you fail to sit in a chair, you got to die. You know, they set up the loan system in such a way that there's no way to pay off the debt. You know, and the only way they can really keep it going is
by getting people to die so that their funds are freed up and can be redistributed to the rest. Otherwise, the whole system
right.
collapses.
Right, kind of like what you were saying a few months ago about these non-organic mega farmers. They sell them on the fact that you can make a mat, mega farming, and they get you to sign your life away, and you go deeply, deeply in debt. Well, they're not losing because you have to repay your debt unless you file bankruptcy.
Yeah.
So after you fail, I mean, you've already given them so much money trying to succeed.
Right.
And then after you failed, you still owe them money, but they turn around and sell that bankrupting concept to the next guy and the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. So they keep making money and they keep making families go broke.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the land ultimately ends up in the hands of mega farmers. I mean, real mega farmers. Who do make money doing exactly that.
Right.
And you make poor health eating the food they grow for you.
Exactly. Oh, another thing I was talking about before we led into the drama.
You know, this sounds like it was a pretty amazing podcast before I dialed in. Maybe I should have stayed off.
I know, right? Well, yeah. You almost interrupted me before I killed it, and then you made me kill it anyway.
I'm an asshole, yo-yo. I'm an asshole.
So anyway, another thing I posted on Facebook, besides the rapeseed oil, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Florida. Hang on a second. I found an article. Florida lifted the ban on front yard vegetable gardening.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
People can actually grow front yard vegetable gardens in Florida? I mean, are physically capable of it? Never mind the law.
Well, this is true. It says Florida passes law saying cities cannot stop people from growing food on their own property, even in their front yards.
That's funny.
Yep.
So is that legalizing gardening, or is that establishing property sovereignty?
Both, I think.
Is it reaffirming? Well, see,
here's what the article goes on to say. Florida passes law saying cities cannot stop people from growing food on their own property, even in their front yards. And it says, state lawmakers in Florida have told cities they must respect citizens or sovereigns' property rights. And seemingly even more basic right to grow their own food.
Right. So was this like a judicial ruling or a law that was passed?
It goes on to say they just passed a bill prohibiting local governments from regulating vegetable gardens on residential properties.
Right.
Such regulations are void and unenforceable, the new law says. The legislation was inspired by a couple who had been tending a beautiful front yard vegetable garden for 17 years when the city of Miami told them it was illegal and it didn't matter how
attractive
how nearly they tended their tomatoes.
Neatly?
It says nearly.
Yeah, okay. It was probably a typo. Probably supposed to be a T instead of an R.
Yeah, it didn't matter how maybe often they tended their tomatoes, beets, blah, blah, blah. Only non-edible ornamental plants could be planted in view of the public. Non-edible ornamental plants could be planted. Unsightly Swiss chard needed to be hidden behind the house, the town said.
Well, if it was out of sight, it would be unsightly.
Yeah. The couple argued there wasn't enough sunlight in the backyard.
Yeah, that's not the argument. The argument is Swiss chard is not unsightly. It's beautiful.
Right.
And that's not even the argument. The argument is, whose property is this? Who paid the mortgage on it? Oh, wasn't you? Go the hell away.
Right. Indignant. Oh, okay. There wasn't enough sunlight in the backyard. Indignant at the fact that vegetables were deemed more offensive than boats, RVs, jet skis, statues, fountains, gnomes, pink flamingos, or Santa in a Speedo in one front yard.
By the way, that means that one of the more common plants in Florida needs to be removed from everybody's front yard. It's called saw palmetto. I can't even say it.
Saw palmetto, because it's an edible.
Yes. It is an edible. It's medicinal, it's an edible, and it grows in practically everybody's front yard in Florida because it's a noxious weed there.
Right. But they probably don't realize it's an edible because they're ignorant.
Right. And that also means they have to take, fescue grass out of the front yard. And can't grow geraniums and
Right. Like Marcus Rothkran says, even the begonias in your window have medicinal value and or are edible. I'm not sure what they are. Which in 25 minutes we got to do that podcast.
Right.
So they said that they took their case all the way to the Florida Supreme Court and lost.
Fascinating.
But a few months later, their story hit the nerve with enough state lawmakers. They are now victorious.
Okay, this news reporter who wrote the article is
probably a hippie.
Well, sounds like a product of the modern school system.
Well, that too. Says the world.
But then again. Go ahead.
The world is changing when it comes to food. Republican Senator Rob Bradley, who sponsored the bill. So, we need to focus on Rob Bradley and see what he's all about for our Scott podcast.
Right.
There's a big interest when it comes to locally sourced foods and organic products. It is our role, our duty, to review decisions that are made in the courts to uphold local government actions that violate property rights. When you own a piece of property, you should be able to grow food on that property for your family's consumption. One lawmaker feared front yard gardenings would attract iguanas and rats, but didn't say why that wasn't. But didn't say why that wasn't a concern for backyard gardens.
Right. Backyard or side yard gardens or roof gardens or, Lord forbid, basement gardens.
Right.
Wouldn't it still attract them there even?
Pretty much. That is returntonow.net.
Yeah, the logic of some people.
The author is Sarah Burroughs.
Right.
The guy in the photo looks familiar. I don't recognize this woman, but I recognize the guy from my research in organics and edibles and stuff like that. He's probably done some YouTubes or whatever.
There you go.
But I've probably seen her too, but I don't recognize her as much as I do him. Boom, Shaka.
I'm sorry.
Did you know ketchup was almost 50% sugar?
Was or is?
Heinz ketchup.
Yeah, is. What it was, did you know ketchup used to be made out of just about any fruit you can imagine? And now they only make it out of tomatoes. Now it's only tomatoes.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Should children be taught to grow food as part of their schooling?
No. Children shouldn't be schooled. They should learn how to grow gardens, though.
Yeah.
Every parent should require their children to learn how to grow plants. Every parent should refuse to send their children to schooling.
Now, here's something interesting.
All right.
Mountain Dew in the UK is healthier than Mountain Dew in the US.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, probably because they have rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines requiring them to not put certain things in.
Right. Mountain Dew in UK is more yellow than it is green. It has water, sugar, citric acid, ascorbic acid, caffeine, flavorings, potassium sorbate, gum,
Arabic,
and beta carotene.
For color.
Yep.
But also would improve your eyesight.
Right. So, yeah. Now you know how to make Mountain Dew.
Well, I would probably avoid the potassium sorbate, whatever.
Yeah, potassium sorbate. The flavorings probably ain't real. And the sugar is probably white sugar, so you would want to use a raw sugar.
Right.
Citric acid, you can get a more natural citric acid.
Honestly, I'm more interested in working on making small beers, which is the original sodas in the first place.
Right.
You know, your root beers, a real fermented root beer. Okay. Not a wine made from root beer. Just, you know, the same thing goes for your ginger ale, things like that. Small alcoholic content, but it's still fermented. All right. It's an alcoholic drink that you wouldn't feel bad giving to your kids. All right. Because the alcohol content's so low. All right. But it's healthier for you. You know, it's
right.
Made out of natural ingredients, and the fermentation is achieved naturally. All right? Granted, there's not much wrong, as far as I know, with pumping carbon dioxide into water and making it carbonated that way, but, you know, but the small beers had cultures in them that were good for you, were good for your digestion. You know, root beer and sarsaparilla were considered medicines.
You know, right, but if they put the Mountain Dew, the UK Mountain Dew on the shelf next to the US version of Mountain Dew on the shelf, which one would you pick?
Well,
if you were to pick a Mountain Dew.
I would probably pass them both because of the potassium sorbate, namely because I'm not sure what that is. Potassium sorbate might be okay, but, you know, I mean, if they put sodium chloride on the label, I would probably pass it up because I didn't know that that was salt.
Right.
Okay.
Let me read the U.S. ingredients. Water. High fructose corn syrup, concentrated orange juice, which that's not too bad, citric acid, natural flavors, whatever natural flavors are, sodium benzoate, caffeine, sodium citrate, I can't even pronounce this one, erythorbic acid?
Erythorbic acid, that'd be vitamin C, if I remember right.
Okay. Gum arabic, that's in common. Oh, and water, that's in common too. Calcium disodium.
Nice.
EDTA.
That's a common preservative, if I remember right.
Brominated vegetable oil.
And
whatever
how
that
does
is.
That differ from yeah, how does that differ from what they normally do to vegetable oil?
Right. And then Yellow food paint number 5.
Okay, I would pick the UK one over the US one, hands down. But I would reject them both. But admittedly, I'd reject the UK one out of my ignorance over one ingredient.
Right.
Right. And that's important. If you don't really know what it is, you should go look it up. You know, they recently put a soda that I had been drinking on a regular basis back on the shelf. They pulled Sierra Mist off the shelf, and at the time was rejecting all the other sodas because they had high fructose corn syrup in them, and Sierra Mist was the only one on the shelf that used sugar. Well, they finally put it back on the shelf after doing this experiment with Sierra Twist, which is basically the same recipe with high fructose corn syrup in it instead. And nobody at Dollar General was buying it, whereas the Sierra Mist was disappearing from the shelf faster than they could put it up.
Yep.
All right. Because somebody was paying attention to that sugar content. All right. Well, when they put it back on the shelf, I read it, and there was two ingredients, and off the top of my head, I cannot remember what they were, but there's two ingredients I hadn't paid attention to before. And I looked them up, and one was a drug. And, yeah, I forget what condition it was used for. And the other... Oh, God, I can't remember what the other one was. But basically, their purpose for putting them in food was basically as a food preservative and a stabilizer. And I decided I was going to pass on even the Sierra Mist. They pulled it off the market long enough for me to evolve in my, you know, what I will eat and what I will not eat. You know, at this point, I will let soy oil and canola oil slide sometimes, but for the most part, I'll avoid even canola oil.
Genetically modified rapeseed oil.
Yeah, for the most part, I'll avoid that. I mean, because it really is not good for you. No matter how many times they try to pass it off as a health food. Generally speaking, vegetable oils are not good for you, generally speaking.
Well, and like I said in my post, if you're using it every now and then, it's probably not going to hurt you. But if you look at all the ingredients on the shelves, it's in over 50% of our foods. I mean, if you're buying flavored cardboard and food paint.
Well, yeah, the important thing to do, more important than avoiding the poisons, but avoiding the poisons is important, is helpful to your health. I mean, that kind of is common sense that it would be helpful to your health to avoid poison, all right? More important than that is to get nutrition in your food. And honestly, you are not going to do that from canned goods, pre-processed stuff, sugar that's had all the nutrients stripped out of it, flour that's had all the nutrients stripped out of it. I mean, there's a reason why they add vitamin B in its multitude of forms to all your bread products. The processing that produces flour results in all your vitamin B's oxidizing and going away. And so they have to add it back because they found out that pregnant women who were eating the store-bought bread were getting depleted of vitamin B and it was having detrimental effects on the fetus in their wombs. And so, just like adding iodine back to the salt, you know, it's pretty well mandated that all salt has iodine in it now, because the processed salt had all the trace minerals stripped out of it, and so people weren't getting enough iodine. So there's this minimum amount of iodine in your salt. Really, you need a lot more iodine than what they give you, but, you know, people were getting goiter, all right? Children were born with birth defects as a result of vitamin B deficiency. So they started adding vitamin B back to the bread products and anything that was made out of flour, because it's a serious issue.
Right. Yeah, some of the stuff isn't criminal. Some of it's just idiot.
Well, it becomes criminal when you're aware of it and you keep doing it anyway.
This is true.
All right, you know. I think somebody asked, you know, whose crime was it that the child was born lame? You know, was it the parent's sin or was it the child's sin? You know, well, I'd go so far as to say that it was probably the farmer's sin. You know?
Right. For selling crappy food.
You know, there you go.
Making people think it was good for them.
Pretty much.
That's what they sell in the boob tube all the time. Oh, this is good for you.
Oh, God.
And then 5-10 years later, oh, no, that causes cancer.
There is this Filipino store that in Vallejo, California, that specialized in making cake with lots of frosting on it. And their commercial would spout over and over again, nutritious and delicious, and show pictures of cake, white cake. Bleached flour, bleached sugar, no nutrient value, lots of frosting. Delicious, yes. Nutritious, by no means.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. You know? Let's see now. What's the Reader's Digest line? There ought to be a law. Well, there is a law. There's a law against misrepresentation. You know, you're not supposed to claim your product is something that it's not. And in this modern world, it's perfectly okay to misrepresent your products. You know. So I don't know. I haven't a clue. Oh, my. Well, it's a nice night out here. It's fairly warm. You wouldn't know that we had snow a week ago.
Okay. This is funny. I said, P.S. I rarely drink. I quit smoking in 2007. I'm healthy, but I'm a cat person. Ouch.
Oh, you said that to her. You should send a P.S. You should give her the P.S., though. I have a soft place in my heart for pit bulls.
I do love pit bulls.
Even if they do chase all our cats away.
They have to like cats, though.
This one likes cats. This one likes cats a lot.
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah, I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to make cat hiding places.
Yeah.
We're going to have to build structures that cats can get in and onto and above the dog easily, frequently. So the dog can tree the cat, and the cat will be fine. Which is pretty much what happened with Mimi. As soon as the dog discovered that Mimi was there and headed toward the cat, Mimi just went up the tree, and rather calmly about it at that.
I said, oh, I do like dogs that like cats, though. And did a laughing cat emoji.
Right.
Not her, the other dog.
You idiot.
No, she's not a dog. She's beautiful. But anyway.
Are you saying that dogs are not beautiful?
This is true. Our dog's beautiful.
No, our dog's ugly. But I like her anyway.
She's not ugly. She's gorgeous.
Oh, God.
But I love pit bulls.
She has a face that only a mother could love.
Well, I grew up with pit bulls, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm a pit bull!
She does have a very pretty coat.
Yep.
But her face is all kind of twisted and whatever. But she's very lovable and adorable. Still working on the jumping up and putting paw prints on your clothes part, but you know. I don't know, I was just over at Doris's today. She's got her dog so well trained. That dog come up. She hasn't gotten to stop whimpering and whining for affection, but it will stop, and it will stare at you, and it'll beg to be touched. But it will not touch you.
Yeah. We should send Coco to Jada school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another dog that's that way. Yeah, that's another dog that's that way. Jada. But nobody really taught that to Jada, you know. And then there's some people like Haley that Jada will kind of jump on. Because she's small and Jada can get away with it. But
She tried jumping up on me whenever I first came around.
Right. Yeah.
But
that's true. Maybe I'm the one who trained her, because I would step on her feet when she did it to me. Well, I would literally step on her hind feet. And
I didn't do that, but I wouldn't let her jump on me, though.
Yeah, the other thing I'd do is I'd sweep her hind feet. As soon as her front feet raised off the ground, I'd sweep her hind feet, and she'd fall over on her back.
Guess what time it is?
It's howdy doody time.
It's free food and medicine time.
Yes.
All right, get Rocket Smart Grand's book out and look up rapeseed.
Rapeseed? Is that even in his book?
He talks about edibles and he talks about toxic.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe it is in his book.
Yeah, because he talks about hemlock in there, too.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing anything on chickweed in his book, though.
Also, look up Deadly Nightshade, because it's got medicinal value as well. You just don't want to take too much of it.
Well, depending on who you are.
Who?
Depending on poison ivy was actually used by some people as a detox.
Right. And quite frankly, the reaction that you get from poison ivy is probably a detox.
True that.
So if you're getting highs and stuff from poison ivy, it's probably because you should expose yourself to more of it. But you know, hey, that's only a speculation on my part and not medical advice.
Right?
Let's see now. Fortunately, he's got an index in the back. Did you call into the program?
Pin when finished. Press.
Start your show now. Press 1. To hear important instructions, press 2.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now. Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Marcus Rothkranz was supposed to play, but he didn't play. I don't know what's wrong with this stupid blog talk.
Well, it sounded like you did things wrong.
Yeah, probably. Oh, goodness gracious.
Interesting. There's a false dandelion. There's also a false unicorn.
Unicorn. I like unicorn.
I'll have to look that one up. Apparently there's a plant called a unicorn, and there's a false unicorn. Anyway.
Nice.
Rapeseed oil did not show up. And I do not see, unless I don't know how to spell it, I don't see canola oil either.
Or canola seed, canola plant. Well, I don't think canola plant would be in Marcus Rothgren's book because it's not a natural wild edible. It's a GMO. But rapeseed should be in there because it probably grows in the wild.
Yeah, he's got Canada lettuce. Oh, I didn't see rapeseed in here either. And I'm not really sure rapeseed does grow in the wild. I think it's a cultivated plant.
Oh. Well, hello and welcome to the free food and medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast, where we talk about free food and medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We try to.
God's medicine, which reminds me, my affiliate link to Marcus Rothkranz's site is not working, so I'm working on getting that to be working. But in the meantime, just look up Free Food and Medicine, and you'll find all of Marcus's stuff.
Well, I was errant earlier. He does have a blurb on chickweed, and I think that's the only blurb I found in any of my books.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, I got to turn to the page first. I'm slow.
Hurry up! We're impatient. Honestly, we only got 30 minutes.
Honestly, he has half a page. All right. So, let's see now. Chickweed. Stellaria media. Found almost everywhere and grows year-round. Yeah, around here it dies in the summer. But anyway. Even winter under snow. Here it grew vibrantly except for on the very coldest days, and that only gave it a glazed look. It popped back immediately within days. Okay. Okay, most people think it is an obnoxious weed, but it tastes good and is good for you. Yeah, in my opinion, it tastes like iceberg lettuce, right? But it's got nutrients in it, whereas iceberg lettuce fails to have the nutrients. Not
that's
because
probably
iceberg...
why it doesn't quite.
Go ahead.
That's probably why it doesn't quite taste like iceberg lettuce to me, because it's got that nutrients that iceberg lettuce doesn't have. It's good, but I can't say that it tastes like iceberg lettuce, because it actually has flavor.
It has a
like
different
water.
Texture. It has a different texture than iceberg lettuce. This is true. It's more fibrous. All right. Mostly because
the ones we have are more juicy. The ones I find in the wild are more fibrous.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so let's see now. Good for you. The whole plant is edible. Harvest young leafy stem tips, buds, and flowers. I just grab whole handfuls of the damn plant. I'm, you know.
I am.
I pick out the dried stems and the dried leaves, and then I eat the rest. All right. And for the most part,
the
there aren't too many dried stems or dried leaves. So.
I just pull out the roots, put them back, and eat the rest.
I generally don't grab that deep. But, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sometimes
okay.
You pull up a root.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes I do. And yeah. That's, you know, cut off and use the top 2 inches, not below. That or it looks like bad grammar, or I didn't read it right. Not below that. Or it all be too fibrous and straw-like. Well, yeah. That might explain why it's fibrous to me, because I eat a lot of it. You know, I'm not picky about how much of the plant I grab. And
that
honestly,
being said,
yeah.
That being said, we have some growing in healthy soil. That it actually tastes good all the way down to the roots. It's not really fibrous. It's juicy. I just had some this morning that I got out of the wild, and it was more fibrous. But the ones we have growing, if you cultivate it, and we're not even really cultivating it. It cultivated itself. But we just have it growing in a good, healthy plot that we actually intended for, not strawberries, tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
And it is growing like crazy, and it is just delicious all the way down to the root.
Yeah, I created this. I built this self-watering pot using a 55-gallon drum, a PVC pipe, and one of these
salt lick.
Yeah, basically a salt lick, a protein block, whatever thing tub, a protein tub that. Somebody had thrown out to their horses or the cattle or whatever, and it had a crack in the bottom because they threw it out. And I took this concept of a self-watering pot to an extreme. I used instead of using a little bowl and a little flower pot with something to wick the water up into the pot, I went 55-gallon drum and a
PVC
big
pipe wick.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I went overboard, and it didn't really work. Not for
the tomatoes.
It might now, because it seems to be in full whatever. We'll see how it gets this summer. But anyway.
We'll have to make a whole bunch of them and experiment planting different things, you know, like the purslane and wood sorrow and other things like that.
All right. Now, the book now goes into a description of the actual plant. Honestly, I would say hop on Google and look for images of chickweed. Okay?
Google!
It's going to have this white five-petal flower. It's going to have viney stems and these little almost heart-shaped leaves. Not quite, but, you know, they're, you know, they don't quite form a heart, but they got a point to the to one end and a wide leaf. And I don't remember if the stems are square or not. I suppose I could run out and look real quick. But
they're round.
Okay. Anyway. So it then goes into some of the things that it's good for. You know, one of them is it's great in salad. Okay. You can make leaf. You can make tea from it. Okay. Let's see. Chickweed is one of the best bronchial decongestants. Its anti-inflammatory properties reduce inflamed lungs, bowels, and stomach. Antioxidants. Antihistamines. Reduces sinus congestion, bronchitis, circulatory problems. Juice is antiseptic. In other words, you know, you squeeze these things and you can rub it on your wounds. It's, you know. Used to reduce body fat. I didn't know this the year I found a good patch of this. But I have a weight problem, all right? And I can typically get myself down to about 200 pounds with minimal effort, all right? But it is hard as everything for me to lose that last 20 pounds. In the year, I found a good patch of chickweed, and I didn't know that this was the reason. I just thought, hey, I finally made a breakthrough. Well, I had, but it was accidental. I found a good patch of chickweed, and I was eating it in my salad. I was using it as the salad green on a regular basis, all right? And practically every meal I had had a big heaping bowl of chickweed with carrots and sprouts and you know, sometimes raisins and things like that in it with, you know, my homemade dressings. And, you know, I you know, went hog wild on chickweed one year. Well, that's the year I got down to 180 pounds. You know, and I stayed at 180 pounds until I ran out of chickweed.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, my friend Kano here pointed out, hey, you know, Kano is a chickweed is a weight loss thing.
Yeah, we should be feeding it to all our pigs.
Yes, we should feed chickweed to our pigs. Actually, they call it chickweed because people grow it for their chickens to eat.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I thought, interesting.
We need to feed it to our tater hogs.
Yeah, you can actually buy chickweed seeds. I don't know where, but it's my understanding that you can actually buy chickweed seeds and plant it. So
you can buy chickweed supplements. You can buy a bottle of chickweed 1,000 milligrams for $5 on the internet.
Yep.
Or you can just go out in your backyard and pick it, as long as you're not poisoning it.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a good point. The lady whose yard I was working on today, she uses lots of poisons in order to control weeds. You know, she doesn't like having to do weed trimming along her fence line and stuff like that. And so she sprays, I'm pretty sure it's Roundup, around every fence line, you know. So unless she actually has flowers and stuff like that that she doesn't want to lose, she sprays Roundup. Hey, by the way, it's time for our commercial break. So
yeah, what is our nature sunshine have in the way of chickweed?
You know, I looked. As far as I can tell, they don't have chickweed in their lineup.
Interesting.
I could be wrong.
Amazing.
Yeah, they got catnip and fennel.
Catnip. Keep just tell your cats to say no to catnip.
No, tell your cats to say no. Tell your cats to say no to marijuana. I've seen what happens to cats who are exposed to marijuana. They will eat it until their stomachs blow. Catnip is safe for cats.
I know, I'm just kidding. You get 1 pound of chickweed powder for $14.
Right. How about the seeds? Can you get the seeds?
Oh, I'm sure. Or you can just go in your backyard and pick it.
Well, that was a lousy commercial. Yeah, folks, go to our website. Yeah. You can buy Nature Sunshine products from us there. Well, soon.
Not yet.
Maybe not yet.
In the future.
At the very least, you can get our phone numbers. You can call us and talk to us. And we can hook you up. So, anyway.
DavidDavidAndDavid.com.
DavidDavidAndDavid.com. You can order your Nature Sunshine products. You know, if you're getting started out on natural herbal medicine, Nature Sunshine has lots of different products. They have turmeric powder and I just opened up to a random page. Elderberry. They have mineral supplements. Something called Sunshine Heroes Omega 3 with DHA. And I'm ashamed of myself. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe Kano knows what DHA is. All right. But, I was just opening up to random pages. So, it's a good head start. You know, if you're not ready to go out in the field to go find your free food and medicine yet, you know, Nature Sunshine is a good way to get started. So, all right. So, more stuff about chickweed. DHA
is I don't know.
Well, okay. Yeah, I closed that page already, but it was
associated with omega-3s.
Yeah, it was. It actually gave a description. There's this wonderful book they put out. It's called Nature Sunshine Products A to Z, and it actually describes all the stuff they have.
I can't pronounce it. It's called Docos. The hexanic acid.
Do you know why they abbreviate DHA?
Because you can't pronounce it.
So you don't have to pronounce it.
Exactly. Amazing.
Why do they sing that on the radio? So you don't
have to. Chickweed seeds, you can get them on Amazon.
There you go.
Where'd he go? Here we go. 100 chickweed seeds for $7.
100? Only
100 non-GMO. We need to start collecting chickweed seeds and selling them.
Dana, 100 chickweed seeds would barely be visible.
Right?
Somebody has overpriced their seeds.
this person's selling 100 chickweed seeds for $20. The cheapest is $5. The most expensive is $20.
Well, I'm taking a walk. I'm going to go look at a chickweed plant.
I'm going to see if I can identify some seeds, because I know it has some on it right now. But I doubt if I can even see them.
You can get 250 dandelion seeds for $8.
How about you sell them by bulk? Either by weight or volume. Oh, my God.
Dandelion seeds are like a dime a dozen.
No.
Not even that much. A penny a dozen. Not even that much. A mil a dozen.
No. No, it's more like 100 dozen for a penny.
True that.
Well, okay, if you're going to buy the dandelion seed, somebody has to go out with a shop vac in order to collect them from nature. Because that's what it boils down to. Somebody went around and it takes some time and effort to do that. But still.
I know. All you got to do is go to your neighbors and say, hey, you want them dandelions? Hell no. You mind if I have them? Hell yeah. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Our plant is. I wish we had video feed on our podcast. Okay, this chickweed is vibrant. I haven't looked at it for 2 days, and it is more than doubled in size since you were here last.
Right. Oh, yeah. We got all that good rain.
Okay, I'm looking at some seeds, some flower heads that haven't bloomed yet. They're going to bloom tomorrow. I'm trying to see if any of them stuck around long enough to make seed pods down further on the stem. I don't see any. They must have fallen off already.
Probably.
Right. So it probably has a very quick drop rate for those seeds.
Well, yeah, and it just rained.
Right.
So all the seeds got washed to the bottom of the tub.
Down on the ground nearby.
Which, by the way, that plant that you yanked out of the ground to stick into the pot, you didn't need to do that. It's already being over-covered by the established plant. I would have liked to have seen it spreading around on the ground down below. You know.
There's plenty of it spreading around on the ground below.
Yes. I'm looking this over. I don't see. I'm going to check it several times during the day because I suspect it's one of these plants. Okay, like dandelion. Dandelion blooms, the flower closes, and then the next day it seeds. All right. Dandelion produces seeds within 2 days of the flower opening. Okay?
Right.
I suspect chickweed is of the nature that it produces a seed probably quicker than even dandelion.
Probably.
So it's probably what time of the day. So, you know, I'm looking at it right now. I haven't looked at it in the middle of the night before, so it's a little unusual to me because all of the flower heads are closed.
Oh, okay.
All right, usually there's white flowers on.
All right, real quick, we got 5 minutes.
Okay.
Real quick, we got 5 minutes. What does Marcus Rothkrantz's book say about deadly nightshade?
Well, seeing as I'm about a minute away from the book right now, because I ran out to go look at my chickweed plant, and I'm munching on some of it as we speak, I'm racing back to my camper so I can go look at the book.
Okay.
Deadly nightshade.
Well, I Googled Marcus Rothkranz on deadly nightshade, and I got age spots and sunspots on skin.
Yeah. Okay. So he probably uses it as a salve.
Okay, wait a minute. Here we go. It says, fortunately, deadly nightshade isn't often encountered, but these are... Oh, yeah, he's basically saying it's a poisonous plant. But it does have some medicinal value. You just don't want to overdo it.
All right, I don't see it under deadly. So I'll try nightshade. Nipplewort.
Nipplewort.
Nipplewort. Yeah, I don't see nightshade.
Oh, weird.
New Zealand spinach and nipplewort. Nothing in between them.
All right. Well, oh well. Back to chickweed.
Well, you know, he said free food and medicine. He didn't say... You didn't say free food and poisons.
Well, he did say that he mentioned poisonous plants in his book because he wants us to know what to watch out for.
Yeah, I think that's mostly in conjunction with his look-alike.
I don't know if you're familiar with the mushroom books and such. They very often put the deadly lookalikes on the same page as edible mushroom and do their darndest to explain the difference between the two and sometimes advise you not to eat the edible one because it's too easy to mistake it for the deadly one.
He does talk about stuff like that. He's like, you know, make sure you can identify the difference between hemlock and wild carrot because one's poisonous and one's good for you.
Well, yeah, and hemlock will do you in. Well,
right.
With our experience with nightshade, I cannot positively say that hemlock will do you in. But it will do you in if you're 99. Maybe we talk about this some other time.
Oh, wow. It said 19 seconds?
90 seconds. Close it out.
Oh, 90 seconds.
Close it out.
All right. Well, that's right. I was going to play Marcus Rothkranz.
Not going to now.
Oh, well. All right. Well, stay tuned for next week's podcast at Blog Talk Radio.
60 seconds.
Manic Monday for our Free Food and Medicine podcast. And if you want to hear the rest of her story, go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons. And we'll continue this topic on that podcast. Find more at ManicMondayPodcast.com.
Right.
Okay. Right, you got to close it? Hold on for technical difficulties.
Yeah. Okay. I also had to close it on the internet because I had the window open also. Okay. That was... Not as good as our last one, but it worked.
Yeah, it could have been better if I could have found more information on chickweed, but oh well.
Oh well. We're not exactly the most professional podcasters anyway.
This may be true. I would suggest, though, that if we're going to look for chickweed seed, we look for bulk
chickweed seed? Because it sounds like the people who count out the chickweed seeds are going to charge as much as the people, you know, for 20 as the people who will sell you a pound.
Why buy it when you can get it for free?
Because we've been having trouble getting it to spread?
No.
Okay.
It's chickweed. Come on.
You know, honestly, the only places where I find lots of chickweed is where people have overmowed the lawns and sprayed lots of poison. Or we got lucky. And I got lucky on my mom's farm. So I'm just saying, if we could buy the seed, if we could buy the seed, or if we could figure out how to harvest the seed. So that maybe look up, how do you harvest chickweed seed? How do you propagate chickweed? You know, I'm actually tempted to ask permission to take soil plugs from lawns where I see people have lots of chickweed and see if I can figure out what the common denominator is. It might cost me a pretty penny to go to the county extension office and say, hey, test this. This is sample A, sample B, sample C. I want to know what's going on with these soils. You know?
Right.
And then look, you know, get their assessment and figure out how I can make soils like it out of what we got. Now, part of it might just simply be the mowing. If you mow a lot and you mow low, maybe the grass dies away and chickweed's the only thing that survives.
Right. Well, the chickweed is growing where the poison ivy was.
Yeah. And actually, there's still poison ivy. There's still poison ivy there, but yeah, we've pulled a lot of it out. And I saw it today growing under fruit trees. So it's not just cedar trees. It'll grow under fruit trees, too. There's a coyote.
Coyote ugly.
Yeah. Maybe not quite so ugly as our dog, but...
She's not ugly. She's adorable.
She is adorable. I do not deny that she's adorable.
I love pit bulls.
Let's put it this way. It's not the kind of face I'd want to wake up in the morning to.
Well, you know. I don't know. I had a pit bull save my life.
Well, okay. If I was waking up from a near drowning experience and the pit bull is the thing that pulled me out of the pit, then yeah, okay.
And the same pit bull potentially saved my brother's life.
Oh, well, then it should be shot.
Well, this guy was beating up on my brother, and so the dog went after him. But
yeah, I'm only kidding, too, you know.
My brother probably deserved it, but nonetheless. When I tried to kill myself, and I don't remember if I was diagnosed, if I was, anyways, I was pretty much dead, but when I tried to kill myself, I had really done a number on myself, and our pit bull would, you know, my mom, she worked late, so I was already in bed, and I had cut myself up, and I OD'd, and I went to bed, and if I didn't cover up with blankets, and the blankets didn't, and the blood didn't scab up to the blankets and seal my wounds, I would have bled to death. But, or, you know, I would have bled out. But the blankets kind of helped protect me a little bit. But the dog, she woke my mom. My mom came home from work late and tried to go to bed, but the dog would not let her go to sleep. She kept bugging my mom, whining and crying. My mom thought she wanted to go outside. She wouldn't go outside. She kept coming over and sitting next to me and crying, you know, or whining. And, you know, my mom couldn't figure out what it was. So finally she ended up checking on me and saw what kind of condition I was in and called 911. They came and got me, patched me up, pumped my stomach, and brought me back to life, basically.
Right.
So, I don't know if that was a good thing because this world sucks, but, you know, she saved my life. So, you know, because she cared about me. She loved me.
And the medical establishment that we talked down so much was involved in the
rescuing of my sorry existence.
I will say this for the modern medical establishment. They are really good at emergency medicine.
Right. Situations such as that.
Yeah. They're not so good at the other stuff.
Right. They'll save your life when you're having a near-death experience, and then they'll slowly kill you thereafter.
Yeah, I think mostly their objective is to keep you sick but not kill you. But, you know, hey, if you die, oh well, there's other victims in the world.
Right.
But they can't have you. They can't have you getting healthy without them being able to say it was them. Because then you'd be setting an example of how to get away from them.
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of the doctors think they're doing the right thing to get into the medical field because they want, most of them, you know, they care about people. They do it for the right reasons. But they are studying the wrong medicine. You know, we had a Future Farmer of America kid who, well, he used to be Future Farmer of America. Now he works at a feed store. And we was educating him on a couple of things like chickweed and dandelions. He goes, yeah, I learned all that stuff in FFA. But as soon as I got out of it, I erased all that stuff from my memory.
Yep, you didn't really want to know it.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, society is brainwashed to think that all that stuff is poo-poo. It's quackery. And, you know, you're weird if you are interested in that kind of stuff. You're like those weird hippies. And,
doctors who study that stuff are labeled as quacks. And so doctors don't want to be labeled as quacks, so they follow the mainstream medicine. And again, a lot of times they think they're doing the right thing, but they have no clue. They're smart people, and if they just focus in the right areas, they would be great doctors, but they don't. Some do. Some figure it out, and they change paths. You know, the guy, or the people, actually, that wrote one of my favorite books, Prescriptions for Natural Healing and Prescriptions for Herbal Healing, they were doctors that changed their path and went alternative. I started studying those books 25 years ago. Marcus Rothkranz, he's not a doctor, but he has a doctor friend that he refers to for alternative medicines. And he used to be a regular mainstream doctor, and then he went alternative. I think Dr. Andrew Weil used to be a mainstream doctor, and he went alternative. Dr. Christopher used to be a mainstream doctor, and he went alternative.
Right.
But Dr. Christopher's kind of a quack.
How so?
I'm just kidding.
He might have been. I don't know. But he did come up with his...
I'm sorry. Not Dr. Christopher. Dr. Wallach.
Oh, Dr. Wallach? Dr.
Yeah.
Wallach started out as a veterinarian, if I remember right.
Well, yeah, some of them start out as veterinarians. In fact, veterinarians know more about real medicine than doctors. And if you don't believe me, look into endometriosis. Veterinarians know how to cure endometriosis, but doctors don't.
Well, when's the last time you've seen a cow with diabetes?
This is true.
Or, well, actually, they do have dogs with diabetes and cats with diabetes now, but...
Well, that's because they're eating mainstream dog and cat food.
It's not profitable to produce cattle that have diabetes, and it's not profitable to produce lamb or chickens that have diabetes. And so,
right. And now they have dog and cat insurance, so that's where the money is there.
Yeah, so now that there's health insurance for dogs and cats are starting to get things like diabetes and feline AIDS and, you know.
Well, I think feline AIDS and leukemia was going around before. It's mostly found in wild cats and outdoor cats. But I don't know if that's curable or not. Marcus Rothkranz says that in his book, he tells what herbs will cure some certain sexual diseases. So it's possible that feline AIDS and feline leukemia, well, leukemia is cancer, basically. So it's possible that feline AIDS and leukemia is curable if the cats eat more natural and wild, especially the cancer. I don't know about the AIDS.
Right.
And dogs, too, for that matter. So... Yeah! DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Alright, you want to wrap it up?
Sure. Let's wrap it up. 15 minutes already.
That's okay.
If you don't want us to wrap it up now, call in immediately.
Yeah, good luck with that. But do call us. You know, we like our callers, but we prefer you to call and talk, not just call and listen, because you can listen after the fact. Although, I'm a couple weeks behind getting my uploads uploaded, but I'm working on it. But call in and communicate. Give us things to talk about. If you want to talk about gaming, we can talk about gaming. You want to talk about nutrition, we can talk about nutrition. You want to talk about farming, getting off the grid, building earth batteries, plasma batteries, crystal cell batteries, solar, wind, all that stuff. We're more than happy to talk about it. We'll talk about anything, pretty much, on our Demented Dungeons & Dragons podcast. And if you want to talk political about the increase in the size, the cost, extended reach, and power of a terroristic, tyrannical government, call our ScrapGov Scrap podcast. And, well, you can call the Demented Dungeons & Dragons podcast if you want to talk about free food and medicine, because we will be talking about that on our halfway through our Demented Dungeons & Dragons podcast. So there you go. Health, nutrition, freedom, and liberty. Those are our topics that we love so much.
Yeah.
All right. Check us out. ManicMondayPodcast.com. So long.
Good night, folks.